preacher, the book of Exodus tonight, chapter number 1. Glad to be in the Lord's house. Say amen. Praise God. You love your wife? Say amen. You love her mother? Say hallelujah. I knew it'd get quiet on that one. Amen. Good to be back at Buffalo Ridge. I love your pastor. Love Dr. Gene and love everybody here. And even love these guys down here that pick at me. God bless them. And I'm glad y'all have mercy on people like that. Let them come to church here. You have a ministry with a feeble-minded people, and I think that's wonderful. And I'm glad God's people can have a good time. And I'm glad. So I was preaching one night, and I said, we ought to have a smile. And this lady said, I don't see nothing funny. I said, go look in the mirror and see if that helps. I don't know if it helped her, but it didn't help me any, I'll tell you that. But I'm glad to be here tonight. If you're saved, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you don't know your right from your left, just say amen. Amen. And we're glad to be here tonight. Love you, Pastor. I appreciate the work God's letting you do. We serve a wonderful Savior. And I'm glad I know who Jesus is. The book of Exodus tonight, chapter number 1. The preacher said y'all get out at 7:30, so I only have 15 minutes. But Exodus chapter number 1, we'll begin reading tonight in verse number 5. Exodus chapter 1, verse number 5. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already. And the Bible says, and Joseph died, and all his brethren. And say this little phrase out loud with me, and all that generation. Say that with me again, and all that generation. And you say, what generation was that? The generation that knew Joseph. The generation that knew Joseph by name. The generation that was familiar with what God had done in the life of Joseph. That generation died. Now look down in verse number 8. The Bible says, now there arose up a new king over Egypt. And say this with me tonight, which knew not Joseph. And say that with me again, which knew not Joseph. And the Lord being our helper, I want to preach for a while tonight on the tragedy of not knowing Joseph. I believe before us tonight is one of the greatest characters in all the Bible. A man that went from misfortune to mighty fame because the Bible said, and the Lord was with Joseph. No matter where you found Joseph or placed Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph. Whether he was in the pit, Potiphar's, the prison, or the palace, and the Lord was with Joseph. God used this man in an awesome way. Joseph, what a life. Joseph, what a name. Joseph, what a legacy. God used this one man by the name of Joseph to save an entire nation from starvation. You know how God gave Joseph that dream and how a famine was going to come to the land of Egypt. But because Pharaoh listened to this man by the name of Joseph, his nation was saved from starvation. Never been a man used of God to save many people alive like this man in our text by the name of Joseph. God not only used Joseph to save the nation of Egypt, but God even used Joseph to preserve that physical seed that would bring the Messiah, Jesus Christ, into this world. God used this man by the name of Joseph. Joseph, what a man. Joseph, what a life. Joseph, what a legacy. But yet the Bible says in our text tonight that that very nation that Joseph saved from starvation, that very nation that would not even exist were not for Joseph. One day found itself being ruled and legislated by men and a society that did not even know who Joseph was. Now we know the Bible teaches us that Israel sojourned in Egypt for 430 years. Joseph was 30 years old when he went to the throne, and he lived to be 110. And when you pull all that together, this is what you've got. From the time that Joseph died to this new leader on the scene that does not even know who Joseph is, it is a period of 350 years. So think about this tonight. In 350 years, a nation that owed their very existence to Joseph went from knowing all about Joseph to some about Joseph to a little about Joseph to nothing about Joseph. I believe in that day when Joseph was alive, God used him so greatly, everybody knew who Joseph was. I mean, he was the man. This man literally saved them from starvation. But yet in 350 years, the nation that would not even exist were not for Joseph went from knowing all about him to some about him to a little about him to nothing about him. They say that a generation is between 40 to 45 years. You do the math. In less than 8.5 generations, in 8.5 short generations, a nation that owed their very existence to this man went from knowing all about Joseph to some about Joseph to a little about Joseph to nothing about Joseph. You say, well, Brother Joe, what's the big deal about not knowing who Joseph is? Well, not to know who Joseph is not to know one of the greatest lives that's ever been lived. Not to know who Joseph is, it's not to know one of the greatest stories that's ever been told. Why, not to know Joseph is not to know one of the greatest names that's ever been given. Why, not to know Joseph is not to know one of the greatest heritages and legacies that has ever been left to mortal man. If a man on the scene tonight was used of God tonight like Joseph was in that day, we would say about that man, he's a man. If a man was on the scene tonight used of God like Joseph was in that day, there would be books written about Joseph. There would be songs sung about Joseph. People would travel all over the world and give lectures on how wonderful Joseph was. That'd be Joseph t-shirts. That'd be Joseph bracelets. What would Joseph do? That would be Joseph bumper stickers on all of the automobiles. I mean, if a man on the scene tonight was used of God like Joseph was then, his mind, his name, his life would be on every lip. He would be the man. But yet isn't it amazing that in a short 8.5 generations, a nation that would not even exist were not for Joseph went from knowing all about him to some about him to a little about him to nothing about him. You say, well, Brother Joe, what's the big deal about Joseph? Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Not to know Joseph is not to know the one that was greatly loved of his heavenly Father. I mean, not to know Joseph is not to know the one that was always about his Father's business. Why, not to know Joseph is not to know the one that his Father loved him so much that he gave him a coat of many colors. While not to know Joseph is not to know the one that his father exalted high and above all of his other sons. While not to know Joseph is not to know the one that the father could say about him, "This is my beloved son, and whom I'm well pleased." Oh, but not to know Joseph is not to know the one that even though he was loved by his father, he was despised and rejected by his brethren. While not to know Joseph is not to know the one that was sold into the hand of the enemy for the price of silver. While not to know Joseph is not to know the one that was placed in a pit of suffering. Not to know Joseph is not to know the one that suffered humiliation for the sins and the faults and the crimes of another. While not to know Joseph is not to know the one that was forsaken by all and left to suffer all alone. But oh, not to know Joseph is not to know the one that even though everybody forgot about him, God never did. For not to know Joseph is not to know the one that God remembered and he was lifted out of a pit of suffering. While not to know Joseph is not to know one that was highly exalted on the other side of his humiliation. And not to know Joseph is not to know the one that went to the throne on the other side of the pit. And not to know Joseph is not to know the one that the very ones that despised him and rejected him had to bow down before him and confess publicly that Joseph lives. And Joseph is Lord. And Joseph is loaded. For not to know Joseph is not to know the one that had bread when nobody else had bread. And not to know Joseph is not to know the one that if you got any bread, you had to bow down to him to get it because he's the only one that had it. While not to know Joseph is not to know the one that all of his dreams came true. While not to know Joseph is not to know the one that all of his promises, prophecies, and predictions were fulfilled to the minute detail. While not to know Joseph is not to know the one that took a Gentile bride when he got to the throne. Well, let me say it like this. Not to know Joseph is not to know the one that brought a bunch of people into something they didn't have no business being brought into. And the only reason why they got brought into it, they knew who Joseph was. And not to know Joseph is not to know the one that prepared a place in the palace for him and his bride to live together in. As long as Joseph lives. And not to know Joseph is not to know the one that sent a summons or a message to the other family members, "Come unto me. Come up hither. Where I am, there you may be also." Why, Joseph is the one that sent a message to the rest of the family. The mansion's built. The table spread. The door is open. The throne is occupied. And not to know Joseph is not to know the one that made a place in the palace for all of the family to live together in health and blessing and happiness as long as Joseph lived. Someone said, how safe were they in the land of Egypt? How secure were they in the land of Egypt? They were safe and secure as long as Joseph was on the throne. I bet if you asked somebody in that day, "Hey, do you know Joseph?" I believe they'd say, "Yeah, boy, I'm glad I know who Joseph is." You say, "Well, what has that got to do with us?" I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad tonight I can say, I know who Jesus is. You say, "Well, how in the world can you put Jesus and Joseph in the same setting? Don't you know that the Hebrew name Joseph has a twofold meaning, and that first Hebrew meaning of Joseph means God has taken away my reproach. Yeah, boy. Ever since I met Jesus, my heavenly Joseph, he has taken away my reproach. You say, don't you realize that second Hebrew meaning of the name Joseph means Jehovah shall bless or God shall add? Yeah, boy. Because ever since I met Jesus, my heavenly Joseph, he sure has blessed and added unto me. You say, well, preacher, what's the big deal about not knowing who Jesus is? Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the greatest name that's ever been uttered. Why, not to know Jesus, it's not to know the greatest life that has ever been lived. Why, not to know Jesus, it's not to know the greatest story that has ever been told. Why, not to know Jesus, it's not to know the greatest heritage and the greatest legacy that has ever been left to mankind. You say, well, what's so bad about not knowing who Jesus is? Well, not to know Jesus, it's not to know the one that was greatly loved of his heavenly Father. Why, not to know Jesus, it's not to know the one that all three of the Trinity showed up at one time at his baptism. God the Son being baptized by the baptizer, God the Holy Ghost on the wings of a dove, and God the Father thundering from the glory world with a voice that shook the foundations of the earth. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that was always about his Father's business. Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the one that his Father exalted high above all of his other sons. For Adam was the son of God, and Abram's the son of God, and Noah's the son of God, but he only had one only begotten son, and Jesus is his name. You say, did he have a coat of many colors? It's better than that. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Not to know Jesus, that's not to know the one that even though he was loved by his Father, he was despised and rejected by his brethren. While not to know Jesus is not to know the subject of John 1 and 11. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But verse 12, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that suffered crucifixion and humiliation for the sins and the faults and the crimes of another. Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the one that was sold by his own into the hand of the enemy for the price of silver. 30 pieces of silver. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces. In that economy, in that day, a male slave in his prime was worth 20. A female slave in her prime was worth 30. Every one of you women right now ought to turn to your husband and say, hey, buddy, I'm worth more than you. You say, well, Brother Joe, I don't understand that discrepancy. Jesus, a man, sold for the price of a man. Joseph, a man, sold for the price of a man. But Jesus, a man, sold for the price of a female. I don't understand that. I do. When Jesus was being sold for 30 pieces of silver, he was buying himself a bride. Because when Jesus Christ was on this earth, the foxes had holes and the birds had nests and the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. And when Jesus was on this earth, he didn't buy a house, he didn't buy a boat, he didn't buy a chariot, he didn't buy a donkey. The only thing that Jesus bought and paid for when he was on this earth was your soul and mine when he bought us at bloody Calvary. Hallelujah, what a savior. For not to know Jesus, it's not to know the one that was forsaken by all and left to suffer all alone. Not to know Jesus is not to know the one that cried out in the apex of his Calvary experience, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, but not to know Jesus It's not to know the one that even though everybody forgot about him, God remembered. Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the subject of Psalm 8. That God would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption and would not leave his soul in hell. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that was lifted out of the grave. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that was exalted on the other side of his humiliation. And not to know Jesus is not to know the one that went to the throne on the other side of the cross. And not to know Jesus is not to know the one that up from the grave he arose with a mighty power over his foes, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Not to know Jesus. Not to know Jesus, that's not to know the one that took a Gentile bride when he got to the throne. Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the one that brought a bunch of people into something they didn't have any business being brought into, and the only reason why they got brought into it, they knew who Jesus was. Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the one that's built a place in the palace for him and his bride to live together in. As long as Jesus lives. Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the one that said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that's about to send a message to the other family members, come up hither. Where I am, there you may be also. The mansion's built, the table is spread, the throne is occupied, the door is open. Not to know Jesus is not to know the one that all of his dreams came true. Not to know Jesus is not to know the one that can make your dreams come true. Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the one that all of his promises, prophecies, and predictions have been, are being, and shall be fulfilled to the minute detail. By the way, not to know Jesus is not to know the one that the very ones that despised him and rejected him one day will have to bow down before him and confess with their mouth, Jesus lives. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is loaded. For Jesus has got bread when nobody else has bread. In fact, he is the one who said, I am the bread of life. And not to know Jesus is not to know the one that if you get any bread, you'll have to bow down to him to get it because he's the only one that's got it. And not to know Jesus is not to know the one who can really be said, and he kept much people alive. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. You say, well, what has that got to do with us? Here it is. We owe our salvation to Jesus. We owe our blessings to Jesus. We owe our existence to Jesus. And God forbid that we ever live in a society one day ruled and legislated by men who by their own admission will say, I don't know who Jesus is. You say, preacher, can a name like that be forgotten? Can a story like that be forgotten? Can a life like that be forgotten? We already live tonight in a nation that's on the threshold of saying, we don't know who Jesus is. Because we live in a society that's went from knowing all about Jesus to some about Jesus to a little about Jesus to nothing about Jesus. Would you agree with me tonight? Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Anybody here tonight know who Jesus is? I'm glad I know who Jesus is. They were ignorant to the story of Joseph. How do you forget a life like that? How do you forget a man like that? Somebody didn't tell the next generation, and somebody didn't tell the next generation, and somebody didn't tell the next generation. Now here is a nation that would not be a nation were not for Joseph, ruled by a man that doesn't even know who Joseph is. They were ignorant to his story. And I'm going to tell you where we are in our nation tonight. We're that close to being ruled and legislated by men who do not know who Jesus is. I feel like the songwriter tonight, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest, ever was heard. Tell me his name again. I love to tell the story to those who know it best. They seem hungry and thirsting to hear it like the rest. In my 35 years of preaching the gospel, I have never met a child of God who is tired of hearing the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the story of Jesus. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. And everybody ought to know who Jesus is. But they found themselves where we're finding ourselves tonight. Generation after generation after generation. They go from knowing all, some, to little, to none. And let me say, it's a bad society. It's a dangerous society. It's a wicked society when it's ruled by men who do not know our heritage. They don't know who Jesus is. Because watch what happens in the text tonight, in verse 7, in verse 8, in verse 9. When that generation died that knew Joseph, when that generation died that knew the story of Joseph, when that generation died that knew the blessing of God upon Joseph, when they were out of the way, when that light was gone, when that salt was gone, when that influence was gone, guess what they did to Joseph's family that was left in Egypt. And by the way, I want to say to the Egyptians, you've gotten rid of Joseph, but his DNA is still hanging around. In fact, they looked around one day and said, Lord, have mercy, them Josephites is everywhere. Lord, have mercy, them Joseph freaks, them Joseph fans, them Joseph people, they are everywhere. And it's not going to be long that it's going to be more of them than it is of us. And if a war ever breaks out and they side with the enemy, we're in trouble. I tell you what we better do. We better kill all them Josephites. We better enslave all them Josephites. We better persecute all them Josephites. You know what Joseph's family found out? They were not welcome. They were not loved. They were not recognized. They were not wanted because they did not know Joseph. They did not know them. And what did that generation do that got in power who knew not Joseph? What did they do to Joseph's family? You know the story. They enslaved them. They persecuted them. They treated them like common animals. You know why they did that to Joseph's people? They didn't know Joseph. Therefore, they didn't know them. Let me tell you how weird it is. When you live in a society that doesn't know Joseph, they will worship the creature and the creation more than the Creator. Why do you think when Moses comes on the scene, Egypt is worshiping idols? Because when you don't know Joseph, you'll make an idol and a god out of most anything. Let me say it like this. When you live in a society that does not know who Joseph is, they'll abort the babies and protect the spotted owl. And they said, we're going to do something about it. Them Josephites, and they persecuted them. They took their families, they took their homes, they took their freedoms. And for 435 long years, they enslaved them. They didn't love them. They didn't receive them. They didn't recognize them. Because they didn't love Joseph, they didn't love them. They didn't know Joseph, they didn't know them. They didn't recognize Joseph, they didn't recognize them. You say, what has that got to do with us? Here it is. You know why the church is scoffed and mocked and lampooned in this society? You know why the athletes and the movie stars and all the weirdos are put on a pedestal, and the preachers and the Christians and the godly families are mocked and scoffed? Because we're living in a society that rules us and legislates us. And because they don't know Jesus, they don't know us. And because they don't love Jesus, they don't love us. And because they don't recognize Jesus, they don't recognize us. It's always been that way. In fact, even those early apostles run into the same thing. One of them told Simon Peter, said, you can preach, you can heal, you can deliver, you can evangelize, but just don't do it in, they wouldn't even say it, that name. And old Simon Peter said, read my lips. If I don't do it in that name, there's no reason for me to do it. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Boy, this political society upon us today says, that name Jesus just bothers me. That name Jesus bothers me. Wonderful. Look up here. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I still pray in Jesus' name. I still shout in Jesus' name. I still worship in Jesus' name. I still pay my taxes in Jesus' name. But I want to tell you, don't take it personal. It's not you they despise. It's that Jesus that you love. You know, you can't talk about nobody in our society. You can't make jokes. You can't talk about nobody. Everybody is sensitive. But brother, it's open season on the Christian. You can't talk about this one. You can't talk about that one. But if you got something smutty to say about a Christian, have at it, brother. Let her rip. If someone practices homosexuality, you better not say anything about that. But boy, you sure can let the Christian have it. If somebody's a Muslim, you can't say anything about that. But you can sure let the Christian have it. Brother, God said it would be that way. It's that way because they don't know Joseph. They didn't know his people. And because this world does not know Jesus Christ, they do not know us. They do not love us. We are a bother to them. They want us out of here. They want us off the scene, and one day Jesus has come in and they're going to get their wish. Some of you sitting here tonight, some of your family, they didn't want you to be a drunkard and a doper and an idiot. And they wanted you to get just enough religion so you'd quit embarrassing the family. But they didn't want you to get this much. They wanted you to get in church so they'd have a place to have your funeral, but one like this was not what they had in mind. Now you've gone too far. I doubt that. Now they think you're a member of some cult, drinking pink lemonade, looking for a hellbot comet. Hello. And when you go to the family reunions and when they come by your house and when you drive by your neighbor's house, they say, there they go, there they go, there they go. All them Bible thumpers, all them Jesus fans. You're right on both of them. I'm a Jesus fan and a Bible thumper. Can I get a witness? There they go. Yep, there they go. Oh, Holy Jones, Spiritual Susie. Holy, holy Molly, Molly. There they go. There they go. There they go up there, Mofa. There they go. Yeah, buddy, one of these days Jesus is coming back and we're going to leave out of here and they're really going to say, there they go. They don't love us because they didn't love Joseph. You know why the church is persecuted today? Because they don't know Jesus. Because you can't love Joseph and not love his children. And you can't love Jesus and not love his children. I'm telling you tonight, when you live in a society that goes from knowing all about him to some about him to little about him to nothing about him, it's dark and perilous and persecuting times. But notice what happens in the text. It gets worse. They were ignorant to the story of Joseph. They were insensitive to the family of Joseph. But by the time you get to chapter 5 and verse 3 and verse 8, when Moses stands before Pharaoh and he says, Pharaoh, I've been talking to the Lord at the burning bush, and the Lord said, let my people go. This man who knows not Joseph, by the time you get to chapter number 5, Pastor, he is so spiritually ignorant. He is so far removed from his own national history and heritage. He is so steeped in apostasy. He looks at Moses and makes this blood-curdling statement. Who's the Lord that I should obey his voice? For you see, when you're ignorant to the story of Jesus and you're insensitive to the family of Jesus, you'll ignore the God of Jesus. Because they didn't know Joseph, they didn't know Jehovah God. And ladies and gentlemen, this world that rejects Jesus Christ has rejected Jehovah God, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't know God outside of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things we could disagree on tonight. There's a lot of areas of ecclesiastical things we may not agree on tonight. And there's a lot of areas that we may not see eye to eye on tonight. But I'll tell you one thing we better get right, and that is who Jesus is. Because there's not 5 doors to heaven, 7 doors to heaven, 8 doors to heaven. There is one way, one truth, one light, one door. And his name is Jesus Christ. That's why when Moses comes on the scene, Pastor, they're worshiping frogs and the sun and the moon and creatures and cows and animals. I've always read my whole life that Egypt was known for its learning. I don't think they're all that smart. You got to be pretty dumb to worship a cow. You want to see how smart people are? Look at who they bow down to. And by the way, those plagues that God wrought in the land of Egypt were not just freaks of nature. You know what they were? They were a direct insult and judgment on one of their fake, phony, false, frivolous gods. God said, you want to worship the sun? I'll cut it off. God said, you want to worship the rivers? I'll turn it to blood. God said, you want to worship creepy crawly creatures? Help yourself. I'll give you a head full of lice and a bed full of frogs. Because God said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt, and they're going to know that I am the Lord. I'm going to tell you what's about to happen in the United States of America. God's about to come through here in judgment and indignation and get our nation's attention and remind him that he's still God. He's still the true God. He's still the only God. And besides him, there is none else. They were insensitive to the story of Joseph. They were ignorant to the story of Joseph, insensitive to the family of Joseph, and they ignored the God of Joseph. But God got their attention. Can I say that again? God got their attention. Moses is over there at the burning bush, and God said, son, you go to Egypt and you go tell Pharaoh, they've ignored me long enough. They've sold out my boy. They persecuted my people. I'm hot. I'm mad, I'm coming to town, and I've got judgment on my mind, and I'm going to overthrow them with a strong hand. But you tell them, son, in wrath I remember mercy. You tell them that do not want to be destroyed to take a male spotless lamb, kill it on the 14th day, put its blood in a bowl. Stick a hyssop brush in that bowl of blood and put it on the top and on the sides of the door. On the top and on the sides of the door. On the top and on the sides of the door. And when I pass through the land of Egypt tonight, when I see the blood, I'll pass over them. He didn't say, when I see the lamb tied up in the backyard. He didn't say, when I see the lamb nailed to the doorpost. He said, I'm looking for one thing. I'm looking for blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. Boy, that night I can see the Egyptians, those lambs are dying. They're out there painting the town red. They're putting that blood on the top and on the sides. And about that time the clock struck midnight. And that was a darkness that engulfed the land of Egypt so thick it could be felt. Mr. Death himself walks down Main Street, down the back alleys, and weeping and sighing, and the smell and the stench of death is in the air. But over yonder in the land of Goshen's, on the other side of where the rich people live, there's some little black huts with a red substance shimmering in the night. And you know what that is? That's the blood of the Passover lamb. And what a difference it is between their neighborhood and the rest of Egypt. For in Egypt there was darkness, but over there in Goshen where the blood was, a light was shining. Over there in Egypt there was starvation. Over there where the blood is, that was a table spread. Over there in the land of Egypt, they had met their end. On the inside where the blood was, they're about to take a trip. Over there in Egypt, there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But over there where the blood is, there's singing and reading and devotion and worshiping God. And I want to tell you the difference is the blood of the Lamb. You say, what's that got to do with us? Here it is. God's about up to here with this world, rejecting His Son and betraying His Son and blaspheming His name and persecuting His people. And God's about to come to this world in judgment and indignation and clean house. But wait a minute. I'm glad there are some of us not too worried about that. Because one, they've a spotless, sacrificial, sinless, substitutional, slain, satisfying, saving, sweet, sheltering, sure enough, Lamb of God washed our sins away. And I'm not worried about the judgment of God because I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. And in the morning after the death angel passed through, my soul, there was death and destruction. But in them little houses where the blood had been applied, they was all missing. They were gone. I mean, they were not there. They had been Exodus out. They were nowhere to be found. And finally someone said, Pharaoh, I'll tell you where you can find them. They're down there at the Red Sea. And they got the Red Sea in front, the mountains on one side, the desert on the other side. And if you'll bring your army in the rear, you can annihilate them right there. And I believe God says, bring it on, big boy, and we'll see. Boy, here they come. There stands Moses, 2.5 million Jews in the Red Sea. They can't go that way. They can't go that way. They can't go that way. They done been that way. What are they going to do? Oh, when you can't go that way, that way, that way, that way, there's a God that way that comes this way, and through the power of the blood of the Lamb, you can go that way. No matter what's in your way. Moses stood there and said, God, what do you want me to do? And God said, nothing. Stand. I'm about to enjoy this. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God, the sovereign God of heaven, leaned over the balconies of glory and went. And the waters heaped up on both sides. God sent an angel from the glory world. And he got between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And directed traffic. If you're a hyper-Calvinist, you're going to hyperventilate here. And you know how long he kept the waters parted? to every one of the blood wash made it out. Not one was left behind. God swept Egypt clean of the remembrance of his people. Hallelujah. There wasn't a one left. In fact, let me tell you how serious God was about it. In the back of the line, I mean, the last boys is about to come across. I mean, they're walking on dry ground. And in the back of the line are six boys, three on each side. They got a big old box on their back. And I want to say, hey, what's that box? One of them said, that's Joseph's bones. God is so serious of sweeping his remembrance of his people out of this God-forsaken place, he's even bringing the dead people out. And brother, when the very last one stepped out on the other side of the sunny bank, can you imagine? There stands Pharaoh. He's got his chariot. His horse is gnawing at the bits. He's holding him by the reins. He's got all of his soldiers, all of his leaders, and they're going, them Jews, them Semites, them Joseph fans, them Joseph freaks, them old Bible-thumping Joseph people, what, if they can cross over on dry ground, surely we can do. And I believe the angel says, hey, big boy, come on in. The water's fine. God waited till they got in the middle and he pulled the plug. And God's blood-washed people, now listen to this statement, God's blood-washed people, man, if I'd known I'd have had this much fun, I'd have come over here last night. And God's blood-washed people, can I just say that again? And God's blood-washed, can I say that one more time? And God's blood-washed people stood on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance and watch God bury their past. Gone. I look in the back and I see Pharaoh. Beautiful horse, beautiful chariot, decorated uniform. And I want to say, Pharaoh, how does a man of your power and money and stature, how does a man of your standing die such a shameful death as this? And as that last crushing wave snuffs out his life, his last gurgling words would be, I don't know Joseph. I don't know Joseph. I don't know Joseph. While those who did not know Joseph were going down to a watery grave, those who did know Joseph were headed to the promised land. You say, what has that got to do with us? I'm glad I know who Jesus is. And when the judgment comes, and when vengeance comes, and when reckoning day comes, when God invades this world, overthrow them who know not God, who believe not the gospel, it's really going to pay to know who Jesus is. Because while those who do not know Jesus are perishing, not in a watery grave, but a pit of eternal fire and damnation, they that know Jesus will be safe on the other side. And just in case you bump into me in heaven and you look at me and say, Joe Arthur, you sorry and low down, good for nothing thing, how in the world did somebody as sorry as you ever wind up in heaven? This will be my plea. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'll be there because I know who Jesus is. Can you imagine a nation owing their very existence to Joseph, but yet they went from knowing all about Joseph to some about Joseph to a little about Joseph to nothing about Joseph? I don't care what they say in politics or the media, this is still a Christian nation. And it was founded by men and women who believed in God and the Bible and His Son, Jesus Christ. But tonight we're on the threshold of being ruled and legislated by men and women who've gone from knowing all about Jesus to some about Jesus to a little about Jesus to nothing about Jesus. Think about this tonight in the closing moments. If there is a generation that knows all, and there is a generation, let's do this different because the pastor's on this side. If there's a generation that knows all, and there's a generation that knows none, how does that happen? A generation that knows all about Jesus and a generation that knows nothing about Jesus, somebody in the middle didn't do their part. Because if he would have told him and he would have told him and he would have told him and he would have told him, he would have told him and he would have told him and he would have told me. And if everybody would have done their part in telling the story, there never would have been a generation who did not know who Joseph was. May everybody in this room tonight be willing to do whatever it's necessary to make sure there's never a generation in Gray, Tennessee that it can be said they know not who Jesus is. And they know not who Jesus is. Sir, can you imagine that little girl sitting beside of you not knowing who Jesus is? Sir, can you imagine that little boy and girl sitting on your pew not knowing who Jesus is? Can you imagine one day your children, Pastor, and their children, Jesus? Who is that? Let me ask you one more time. Anybody in this room tonight, you know who Jesus is? If you know who Jesus is, raise your right hand. If you're glad you know who Jesus is, raise your left hand. If you think everybody ought to know who Jesus is, raise both hands. The only way they all gonna know, we're all going to have to tell. Here's a little song. You know it. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Who is He? He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000, everybody ought to know. I believe you agree with this. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. Who is He? He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to tell. Do you love Him enough tonight to tell somebody else you're glad you know who Jesus is? Let's stand together tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. We're glad tonight, Lord, that we know who Jesus is. Lord, I read this text to think of a nation that owes their very existence to Joseph. Now they don't even know Him. God, would You send revival in America? Would You do it one more time that they may never be a generation that knows not who Jesus is? Help us tonight to pray, witness, give, live, sacrifice, stand. Help us to do whatever we gotta do to make sure there's never a generation on our watch who does not know who Jesus is. And we'll thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, you take the service. God bless you, my brother.
Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Just begin to play through softly. Maybe tonight God's speaking to you. Just you're thankful in your own heart that you know Jesus. And you're thankful that He knows you. Maybe tonight the Lord wants you to come to the altar and just say, thank you that I'm a born-again child of God. I don't have to worry about God's wrath and indignation. I'll be honest with you, He hit it very clearly. One statement that really stood out to me was everybody ought to know who Jesus is. I think it'd be appropriate during a time like this, and what an appropriate message, right on the threshold of our vacation Bible school. There are children in this Tri-Cities area, and some of them do not know who Jesus is. I think it'd be great tonight for many of our workers, if you're working in VBS, maybe our deacons, your wives, our staff, your wives, maybe some of our Sunday school teachers, our bus workers, you work with the children on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. We're going to pray momentarily, and then we're going to open the invitation. I'd like to invite you to come, and let's pray that God give us a great vacation Bible school. You know what this Bible school's about? We're telling children who Jesus is. That's all it is. That's what we're doing. Aren't you glad somebody told you? Amen, friends. Are you glad somebody told you who Jesus is? Amen. Then we are hypocrites if it stops with us. We all need this emphasis. Father, take this and use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No singing tonight. She's playing through. If you'd like to come and pray, especially for our vacation Bible school, we're right on the threshold of this. Right on the threshold. Maybe you don't want to come forward, but you'd use your seat as an altar there. You can have a seat. You can turn around, get on your knees there, on the ground, whatever. Lord, help you with this. Asking God to be with us. Lord, to bless this Bible school. Never do want to let a service go by without inviting somebody to Calvary. Maybe you're here tonight in this service and you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're like, I don't know Him. May I say you're among people who love you, and we had counted it an honor and privilege to be able to take a Bible and share with you the story of Jesus. So if you'd like to come, we'll take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Before you leave tonight, if you'll come to us, we'll help you. There's time for you. There's time for you. Out at his table out there, he has some books he's selling. He's got a music, brand new music CD. You heard him sing a little bit tonight, and he's got a brand new music CD. He sings, he preaches a little bit when he sings, and I want to encourage you to go by, shake his hand, thank him for coming, and please buy his books, buy the music, all of that. That'd be great. Brother Bob wants me to remind all parents, you're going to send your children to our junior day camp here at the church. Now it's going to be at Harvest Acres. He wants you to sign up your children tonight if you can. It begins on Monday. And he's asking the teenagers to stop by the enlist table out in the lobby at the Welcome Center to say your memory verse, okay? Now please go by. Let him know how much you appreciate him being here. This is a great, great message tonight. Appreciate how the Lord's met with us. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go by his table, buy his books, buy his music CD. Tell him thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for being here.